You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
Give me a go-no-go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Fido.
We go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Surgeon.
Go flight.
Ecom.
We're go flight.
GNC.
We're go.
Telemuse.
Go.
Control.
Go flight.
Procedures.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go flight.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
The views and opinions expressed by Professor Porterfield do not necessarily reflect the views of the sponsors or their affiliates.
From deep in the heart of Texas, where the stars at night are big and bright, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield. Here to tell it like it was and how it is, to help school you so no one can fool you. Brought to you by the good folks at the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in beautiful Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. So now, without further ado, here's Professor Porterfield. Good evening to you one and all. I am Professor Charles Porterfield, and hoodoo is my business. Welcome once again to the Now You Know Show, and it's so nice to have each and every one of you with us here live, or if you'll be with us a little later on in the archives. Well, I want to tell you what a great time we had in Omaha, Nebraska, and if you heard the Now You Know Show last week, you know it was a kind of a quick little pop-up show live from Omaha, and we had, of course, our good friend Papa Newt from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers and PapaNewt.com. He was here with us, helped us out with announcing and all sorts of other things, and it was a wonderful and fun time. And I just want to send out thank you to all of those of you who I got to meet in Omaha, everyone who came to all my classes, everyone who came and got readings with me. I was so pleased to meet each and every one of you, and I was thrilled and fascinated to find out how many of you are fans of the show. So I know that you're either listening with us tonight or that you will be listening in the archives. So this is the official hello to each and every one of you in Omaha, Iowa, surrounding areas. even madmen that drive 5 and 7 hours with each other to come see me. Talking about you, Wainu and Mikey. So happy to have seen you. And I want to give a very special shout out and thanks to all the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people at Next Millennium who had me in to have a meet and greet, book signing, do readings, teach classes. You all were top notch and you're all grand people. And so that being said, I have a little bit of an announcement. Today is the 5th of October, 2017, which means, first of all, it is my grandson's 5th birthday today. So happy birthday to Victor and happy birthday to Vladimir. You're growing up so very fast. Your Zadie loves you very, very much. Also, since it is the 5th, that means that 3 days ago on the 2nd, October 2nd, 2014, marked our 3-year anniversary here on the Now You Know Show. That's right. We've been on the air 3 years. And in that time, we have done, not counting tonight, obviously, because we're, you know, we're talking about it, it was the 2nd. In that time, we had 111 official episodes of the show. We had 9 specialty episodes of the show, which were either Halloween, Thanksgiving, or Christmas specials of the show. And we had about, 20 repeated episodes, re-airs, for a variety of reasons that were requested or something was happening in the world. So that means that we had about 140-plus episodes in those 3 years out of the 156 weeks back then. And what a strange and wild trip it has been all that time with you guys. And we've had fans come and we've had people go, and it's just, we've had lots of people on the show. We've talked about so very much, and I just want to thank each and every one of you, the listeners, for making this show a success. I want to thank my sponsors at the Human Joy Creative Company for their continued support of the show. I want to thank our chief engineer, Troll Towelhead, for all of his hard work here at the network, and everyone else. I want to thank all the other hosts of all the other shows throughout those 3 years that have been with the network. I want to thank all of their co-hosts. I want to thank all of their announcers. Thank you all so much for making it a fun-filled, interesting, and fantastic 3 years. All right. Now, that being said, tonight we're going to be having a somewhat different kind of show. I would like to say that we've never had a show like this before, but unfortunately we have had another show about this. In fact, more than one. And so it's happening again tonight. But before we even get into that, which is going to come up in the professor's pontification tonight, we're going to go over to the FMC Radio Newsroom. Tonight, we have no prizes for names and claimants. You can still play and win, but we've got no prizes. And so all of that being taken care of, now let's go over, as we speak, to the LMC Radio Newsroom, where our own Patchy Fogg is standing by. Take it away, Patchy.
Good evening. This is the news with Philip Fogg reading. Today is Thursday, October the 5th, the 278th day of 2017. There are 77 days until winter begins, and 87 days left in the year. Today is the harvest moon, that being the full moon nearest the start of the autumnal equinox. expect bright, early evening skies. Today and tomorrow are auspicious days to mow to slow growth, dig post holes, jar jams and jellies, paint, advertise to sell, ask for a loan, and slaughter. The 6th and 7th will be good days for transplanting, good days for planting beets, carrots, onions, turnips, and other hardy root crops where climate is suitable, and good days also for evening fishing. Today's highlight in history comes to us from this date in 1947, when President Harry S. Truman delivered the first ever televised White House address as he spoke on the issue of the world food crisis. Also on this date, in 1829, the 21st President of the United States, Chester Alan Arthur, was born in North Fairfield, Vermont. In 1892, the Dalton Gang, notorious for its train robberies, was practically wiped out while attempting to rob a pair of banks in Coffeyville, Kansas. In 1931, Clyde Pangborn and Hugh Herndon completed the first nonstop flight across the Pacific Ocean, arriving in Washington State some 41 hours after leaving Japan. In 1941, former Supreme Court Justice Louis D. Brandeis, the first Jewish member of the nation's highest court, died in Washington at age 84. In 1953, Earl Warren was sworn in as the 14th Chief Justice of the United States. In 1969, the British TV comedy program Monty Python's Flying Circus made its debut on BBC One. In 1984, the Space Shuttle Challenger blasted off from the Kennedy Space Center on an 8-day mission. The crew included Catherine D. Sullivan, who became the first American woman to walk in space, and Marc Garneau, the first Canadian astronaut. In 1988, Democrat Lloyd Bentsen lambasted Republican Dan Quayle during their vice president debate, telling Quayle, quote, "Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy," end quote. In 1990, a jury in Cincinnati acquitted an art gallery and its director of obscenity charges stemming from an exhibit of sexually graphic photographs by the late Robert Mapplethorpe. Our LMC birthday greetings today go to actress Gilness Johns, who is 94. College Football Hall of Fame coach Barry Switzer is 80. Rhythm and blues singer Arlene Smith of the Chantels is 76. Singer-musician Steve Miller, 74. Rock singer Brian Johnson of AC/DC is 70. Karen Allen, 66. Writer, producer, director Clive Barker, 65. Rock musician David Bryson of Counting Crows, 63. And astrophysicist, author, Neil deGrasse Tyson, is 59. Also, he didn't know we were going to do this, so he beat us to the punch. The twins, Victor and Vladimir, grandsons of our own Professor Porterfield, are 5 years old. Our thought for the day comes from Justice Louis Brandeis, born 1956, died 1941, who said, quote, "America has believed that in differentiation, not in uniformity, lies the path of progress. It acted on the belief. It has advanced human happiness, and it has prospered." This has been the news from the LMC Radio Newsroom. We now turn you over to Professor
Lucky number.
Oh, dreaming of lucky numbers.
Hoping that those lucky numbers,
yeah,
will show for me.
Numbers gonna show for you and me.
Superstition.
Oh, would even make me suspicious.
Table with 13 dishes.
If she
will
make you please have and see.
Hey, that's mommy.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
Well, all right, then.
Put my trust in Goofy Duck.
Cause you know some days may bring you a seven.
Or maybe a lucky 11.
Oh, that you'll be in heaven.
Lucky number for me.
Yeah!
Oh, and you need not just trust in Goofer Dust, as advised by the Nicholas Brothers, because we have got the lucky numbers and card of the week here each and every week, brought to you by ProSportRadio.com. Stop by there and take a look. And this week's lucky numbers are 18. 21, 25, 35, 46, and 50. Once again, those lucky numbers are 18, 21, 25, 35, 46, I dated a girl, and 50. This week's lucky three-digit numbers are 321. That's 321. 656. That's 656. And 817. That's 817. The card of the week is the Six of Hearts. New love or meetings, unexpected happiness. This is a week to get out and about, be ready for meetings and new romances. A week to build on your happiness. Beware of sullen thoughts, stubbornness, or cynicism this week. Remember, our week runs Thursday to Thursday, so check in with the Now You Show to get the numbers and card when they first come out. And if you hit, remember where you get. Till then, good luck to you all. Up next, from the First and Second Baptist Church of Quimby, Texas, our own Miss Loretta with Cooking with Miss Loretta.
Sweet Loretta Martin thought she was a woman, but she was another man. She gets it while she can.
Trouble I had getting here today. I swear that Fred and I are going to have to get a new car. It has just been giving me nothing but problems, but I made it at the last minute. I ran in with the recipe in hand, and they run over to get it typed in so it can go up all into the chat room and whatnot. So I'm afraid no one got to taste it here today, but I assure you it is delicious. Today I'm going to be giving you the recipe for slow cooker beef tips and rye. And this is a favorite in my family. We have made this so long. My kids grew up eating it, and I just have to tell you, it is incredibly simple. This is probably my simplest recipe that feeds a whole family, okay? I've got simpler recipes, but this is the one that you can just get it done and go on, have a lot going on that day, come home, and there it is. And so to that end, I will tell you that the prep time on this is 10 minutes. And the cook time is 8 hours and 10 minutes. And that's why this is my favorite to start before I had to go out, if I was working or if I was doing church work or if I had to do stuff with the kids' schools, I knew that I could get this done 10 minutes before I had to leave, and then I could be gone for 8 hours, come home, and you can eat this and cook for another 30 minutes while I got my plates and dishes together and we could eat a nice hot meal. So, the ingredients you will need for this wonderful, tasty dish are as follows. 2 pounds of beef stew meat. And you want that cut up in kind of little cubes or, well, tips. You want it cut up in tips, right? 1 can of cream of mushroom soup. 1 large packet of brown gravy mix. Now, if you cannot get a hold of the large packet of brown gravy mix that makes 2 cups, then it's fine to just use 2 of the smaller ones that make 1 cup each. Use them together. 1 beef bouillon cube, okay, and 1 cup of water, and 1 small onion chopped. And that's it. That's all there is to it. It's incredibly simple. And you can even, you know, if you want to chop up your onion or get your meat ready the evening before and keep it in your refrigerator, you can. The instructions for how you're going to cook this are simplicity itself. Just combine the ingredients in the bowl of a 4-quart slow cooker and mix it all up, and then cook it covered on low for 7 to 8 hours. And like I say, I have gone a little longer. It just makes the meat even more tender. And then when ready, serve this over hot rice. And you can serve it on a plate and have a quick thing of corn with it if you want, or a little salad. Or you can just serve it in a bowl with bread and butter or hot rolls that you just pop in the oven when you first get home, and it's just a beautiful meal. Everybody is satisfied. They get a nice, hot, filling, nutritious meal, and all you had to do was been a favorite in our family since my children were little, about the size of the professor's grandsons, and they are just as cute as 2 identical bugs in 2 identical rugs. And so I hope that you will enjoy this and try it, and let me know. You can send me letters here. I love getting those letters. I appreciate them so very much. Y'all are so dear. And so until next week, bye-bye.
Thank you, Miss Loretta. And I have to say that beef tips and rice is a favorite in our household. And so now maybe we're going to try Miss Loretta's recipe so that we can just, like she said, start it and walk away from it and come back for it at the end of the day. Up next, the very serious this week, Professor's Pontification. I'm not even sure what to say on it. I'm just pretty beat down. I'm just, my head's hanging.
Early one morning, with time to kill, I borrowed Jeb's rifle and sat on the hill. I saw a lone rider crossing the plain. I drew a bead on him to practice my aim. My brother's rifle went off in my hand. A shot rang out across the land. The horse he kept running, the rider was dead. I hung my head, I hung my head. I set off running to wake from the dream. My brother's rifle went into the sheen. I kept on running into the Southlands. That's where they found me, my head in my hands. The sheriff, he asked me, why had I run? And then it came to me, just what I had done. And all for no reason, just one piece of lead. I hung my head, I hung my head. Here in the courthouse, the whole town was there. I see the judge high up in his chair. Explain to the courtroom what went through your mind. And we'll ask the jury what verdict they find. I felt the power of death over life. I orphaned his children. I widowed his wife. I beg their forgiveness. I wish I was dead. I hung my head. I hung my head. I hung my head. I hung my head. Early one morning, with time to kill, I see the gallows up on the hill. And out in the distance, a trick of the brain, I see a lone rider crossing the plain. And he come to fetch me to see what they done. And we'll ride together till kingdom come. I pray for God's mercy, cause soon I'll be dead. I hung my head, I hung my head. I hung my head, I hung my head.
Johnny Cash with I Hung My Head. Like I said, we're not giving out any treats tonight. It's a serious topic tonight. But if you got it right, hey, you got it right. And so salute. You're probably aware by now that this last Sunday, on the evening of October 1st, 2017, a mass shooting occurred at Route 91 Harvest Music Festival on the Las Vegas Strip. And it happened during the closing performance by Jason Aldman. A gunman opened fire on the outdoor festival crowd from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. That Sunday, I was in Omaha, and I believe that at the time of the shooting, I was actually teaching a class, and I didn't hear about it until afterwards. That evening, I taught my class, and we said some goodbyes because I was flying out the next day, and we had a lot of conversation, and then we were kindly taken out to dinner, and then we went back to the hotel with some friends and sat and talked for a little bit. And then I went upstairs, I packed and went to bed. And so I didn't know about it till the very next morning. And the very next morning, I found out about it. And I found out that good friends of ours here at the LMC Radio Network, Mama E and Clayton of Dr. E Products. Mama E is, of course, a member of the Association of Independent Readers and Workers, had been in Las Vegas that evening, and Clayton had actually been at the concert. And we were blessed later to find out that he was fine and that Mama E was fine. And so I knew that barring thermonuclear war or a plague of locusts in Denton, Texas, this would be what I would be discussing on the show this week, no matter what else was going on. And when I sat down to do that, I started going through my notes. I keep notes about every one of the shows I do. I keep the news. I keep the lucky numbers. I keep the chat room, conversations, etc. And a very sort of chilling and profound experience overcame me. I actually found myself looking through my notes, pulling out my notes for what I had said and what I had done on this show the last few times that this had fucking happened. So I want to speak to you for a moment as a broadcaster. And I understand this is just Blog Talk Radio, but yeah, it wasn't always Blog Talk Radio for me. I've done Blog Talk Radio, I've done Shoutcast Radio, I even did some, you know, local radio back in the college days, as it were, and that sort of thing. So please excuse me if I just said the word broadcaster with some hubris, but I mean it. Let me tell you how that hit me as a broadcaster. This has become so common in our society, okay, that I have had to have shows and announcements about this before. The attack and shooting at the Pulse Club in Orlando, Florida, at the Black Church in... Sorry, folks. Anyway, I've just had to do this before. And then the date of tonight's show came up that we've been on the air 3 years since October 2nd. 3 years. And this makes three times. That averages once a goddamn year that this happens. And those are just the really big ones. I mean, those are just the really, really big ones, you know? They're so big. That I come on this show. That doesn't even include, you know, Sandy Hook and all the rest. All the rest. And normally I read a list of the victims, and I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. I mean no disrespect to them. I mean no disrespect to their families. May their grief end. May someday they know joy again. But I can't do it. I tried. I got the list, you know. I mean, of what we know. We don't have all of it quite yet because people are still, obviously, making their arrangements. It's only been since Sunday. And I looked at it. And, you know, when you look at a list like that, you've got to study it because you want to say everyone's name correctly. You don't want to dishonor them. You don't want to mess up. And I can't do it. I got rid of it. Can't do it. And I thought about all the things I wanted to say. And so I went back and listened to all those shows. And I realized that I've been saying the same thing. So instead, I want to talk about some other things. Now, obviously, I'll inevitably touch on some of the things I've said before. So first of all, we have gotten to a point in this country where we have become so inured of this, so I don't want to say callous, but so shocked, so placated, so forced into acceptance that we've become the Thoughts and Prayers Brigade. And I'm not mocking anyone who sends thoughts and prayers and condolences, okay? But as a society, meaning as a group of people, and please understand that in tonight's show, I am talking about the United States of America. I am not talking about Canada. I'm not talking about the rest of the world. I'm talking about right here, okay? gun violence in the United States of America. We have become so just beaten down by this that it seems like all that oh, it's automatic now. You just say, oh, sending thoughts and prayers, and you try to move on past the horror into the rest of your day. Okay? And again, I'm not putting down those thoughts, those condolences, those honors, those prayers. But at this point, we have reached a level where we've turned an old saying almost wicked. Okay? And that is, it's the least I can do. You know, sending thoughts and prayers is the least I can do. And we have reached a point where, no, seriously, it's the very fucking least we can do. And that's what we do. The absolute least. The absolute minimum. Thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. So sorry, moving on. We're paralyzed. Okay? Well, gun control doesn't work. Oh, you mean except in Canada, parts of Europe, Japan, and all the places it works. We're not even willing to try. Okay? And inevitably, when you even say those two words, gun control, gun control, then there's this picture of some sort of, you know, goon squad of, you know, sinister black-clad men in riot gear kicking in doors and beating in the faces of, you know, women and scattering children so they can take the guns away from the poor American patriot and melt them down. And obviously we're going to melt them down and pour them into a giant statue of Barack Obama or Joseph Stalin or Karl Marx or Trotsky or something like that. And that's what, you know, there are people that actually respond that way when you say the words gun control. We have become lulled almost into a kind of a Thorazine haze. Okay. By this. I'm sorry, it appears that we're experiencing technical difficulties. I have no control over them. I can tell you that everything is absolutely Jake at this end. And I'm not sure what to do about sound issues. I cannot contact the show via Skype because Blog Talk Radio has given us a notification tonight that you can't connect via Skype. I cannot connect via phone because, as per last week, I was informed that phone sound is terrible and is very, very distant and hollow. I'm sorry, this is the only method I have communicating with you. Computer's running clean and fine. Internet settings are good here. I apologize on behalf of the network and the show to all of our listeners. So as I was saying, we've become lulled into a kind of Thorazine-like haze. Okay. About this. Okay. And all I can say in relationship to that is that it's bupkis. It's bupkis. I mean, it's a game. And this game breaks down the same way. First, we're expected to give our thoughts and prayers. Give our thoughts and prayers because it's the least we can do. And those thoughts and prayers from us, I believe, are honest, decent, well-intentioned, meant, and heartfelt. But we have legislators. We have legislators who support and are owned as a subsidiary by the NRA and the gun lobbies who then wish their thoughts and prayers. We have legislators. We have judicians. We have executives. We have many people in all levels of our government, from your local mayor on up, will stand firmly against taking any single action to stop this problem, who then send their thoughts and prayers. And in my book, those thoughts and prayers are not honest. In my heart, in my mind, in my spirit, those thoughts and prayers ain't meant at all. They're just a cover, okay, from those people. From those people. Because it's the very least they can do. Well, they could do nothing, but they'll do you one better, and they'll take a few moments on Twitter to say thoughts and prayers. And those are the people that could actually make some change. That's step one. Step two is it's not time to talk about gun violence. It's not time to talk about gun control. It's not time to talk about the gun industry in this country, the NRA. This is not the time to bring it up. That's the chance that rises up. That's the chance that rises up. Because that's what we do, right? Let's all go back in our mental memories and see if we can recall that that is exactly the way it all happens. Let me see. So 9/11 was not the time to talk about terrorism, right? Uh-oh, the sinking of the Titanic was not the time to talk about why the Titanic sank, icebergs, ship designs. Pearl Harbor was not the time to talk about the failures of anyone inside the military. Okay? Aggression on behalf of Japan, possible war. Hurricanes. Hurricanes aren't the time to talk about weather damage. Oh, ding, 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 ding. Oh, there's one. There's one there it holds. Hurricanes are not time to talk about climate change. Once again, because there's money. Because there's money involved. And the NRA, the climate change deniers, all of them, they say now's not the time to talk about any of those issues, right? This isn't the time to talk about those issues. Let's talk about it right now because, well, if we talked about it now, it might change. And we don't want it to change, right? Oh, no. We're in the money. Honey.
Oh, man, depression, you are through. You done us wrong. We never see
headline about red line. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Because we're in the money. We're in the money. Now is not the time to talk about this. My God, when you people are emotional, when you people still have blood splattered on you, when you people are still burying your kin, when you people are still trying to find out if your loved ones or relatives or neighbors or friends who might be in, near, or at the shooting, why, if we were to talk about this now, you kind of change. You'd do more than the least you can do. Right? Was, in fact, we're in the money. We're in the money. That was, in fact, from Gold Diggers of 1933. So now we have to say, well, how bad is the problem? Well, let's look at something. If you will, please, with me for a moment. Did you know there have been more deaths by guns since 1970 than all of the deaths of soldiers, United States soldiers, American soldiers, in all of the wars that the United States has fought since 1776? Let me just say that for you once more time. We have had more deaths by gun, the police, the whole shebang. There have been more deaths by gun since 1970 to 2017, more deaths than all of the deaths of all of the American soldiers in all of the wars America was involved in. Wars since 1776. But we don't have a problem. We have got a problem. And the problem we have is guns and gun violence and lack of control on guns. Now, in case somebody in the backdrop is hearing me and going, well, goddamn liberal, hey, goddamn gun-faring, gun-hating, weak-wristed, limp-walking,
fearful. They don't understand the evil. They're all scared sheep, and communists, too.
Let me tell you something, pal. I've known how to fire a gun since I was 8 fucking years old. I own guns. I have guns. Okay? I've been raised around guns. I am not against guns. Okay? I don't think the solution here is, well, every gun, every place should be thrown into a giant furnace and that'll solve everything. I'm talking about,
well, the Second Amendment protects us
from, yeah. No, I know. And you have abused the shit out of that Second Amendment. First of all, you have seen to it the NRA and the gun manufacturer lobbies through monetary control buying of congressmen have seen to it that it is only a gun and gun industries that have certain special rights. That other items, other industries do not. They have sane and logical consequences. Did you know a gun is the only cause of death that has civil rights? It has immunity from lawsuits. It has immunity from it has congressional gag orders. Okay? The gun itself, not the owners of the gun itself and the manufacturers of those guns, they enjoy those rights and privileges. Car manufacturers do not. Car manufacturers do fucking not. And we all got cars. There are tons of cars. And the car itself has no civil rights. The car itself is not immune from lawsuits. The driver of the car is not immune from lawsuits. The car itself does not have congressional gag orders on it. The drivers of the car do not enjoy that privilege, and the manufacturer of those cars and the AAA and the other automotive societies of America don't have that. Neither does the American pharmaceutical industry or the American food manufacturing industry. You think there are a lot of guns out there? You think there are a lot of guns out there? Let me tell you, there's a hell of a lot of canned food. There's more canned food all over this country than there are guns, okay? And they don't enjoy all those special privileges. They don't get all of that, okay? Why? Because all other levels of the Constitution are in a situation where tort law can apply to them. Tort law can apply to them, but not the Second Amendment, the vaulted, beautiful, wonderful Second Amendment. The First Amendment? Oh, yeah. There are so many goddamn limits on the First Amendment, it's almost ridiculous. I mean, there's slander, there's libel per se, there's endangerment by statement, there's, you know, oh, God, what else? Incitement to riot, incitement to a mob, I mean, a verbal threat. The list goes on and on and on and on. There are all sorts of obscenity. There are all sorts of different limits on your First Amendment. But our lawmakers and our country refuses to put limit one, not get rid of it, limit one, sane, reasonable limit on the Second Amendment. You know what that means? You know what that means, boys and girls? Well, that means that in this country, you cannot yell fire in an open theater, but you can open fire in one. I mean, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. We have reached a point of insanity. The CDC and the NIH, okay, cannot collect data about gun violence. They're not allowed to report on it. They're not allowed to study it. They're not allowed to look at it. They're not allowed to release reports. They're not even allowed to have internal studies about it. Not allowed. Not the fuck allowed. Well, they can do everything else. Poisoning. How many people die by this cause? How many people die? And then they make advisements and then they release things. Let me tell you something. When I was a small child, seatbelts were not exactly standard. Many, many cars had seatbelts, but there were still tons of cars that had no seatbelts. And in my life, my grandmother and my mother more than once slung, whoosh, whoosh, a right arm out like a karate chop. Hi! Across my little chest. Okay? Because something had happened in the car and we were stopping suddenly. All right? I guess a hell of a thing when your own mom has to basically, you know, like Jackie Chan you in the chest. Yeah! To not keep you, you know, from flying into the glove box or through the window. And we don't have that anymore. Now do we? You have limits on you. You have to wear your seatbelt. And oh, weren't we all obsessed by Marx's totalitarianism? Remember when Joseph Stalin took this country over because we had to wear seatbelts? No, of course you don't fucking remember that because it didn't fucking happen. And anybody that did say that, some drunk, some boor in a bar, all right?
Well, the minute this country went to hell, was when we had to wear them seatbelts. I'll tell you what, you'd look at him like he was nuts. You'd go, thank God, I'm glad you got here alive. Boy, I hope your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren make it through the fucking world. You'd think this guy was a risky idiot. And you'd think he was politically a political weirdo. Okay? If somebody said to you, the moment we had to stop wearing them there ding dang darn dong seat belts in the car was the minute that we lost our freedoms in this country. That's when the man took over. That's when the Keynesian Obama commie, pinko red, socialist, tyrannical, Nazi motherfuckers took over this country. You'd go, wow, you're skating on some thin mental ice there with real sharp blades. And yet that is exactly the level of discussion that many people in this country have as their go-to position about any form of gun control. Any form of gun control. And I'll admit, there are some people who say, oh, I want all guns gone. I want every single gun gone. I want the police to be able to kick in every single door of every single house and drag the guns out and all the people that own them, and I want them all melted down, and anybody that disagrees should be shot because, well, you know, they're a radical on another side. I'm talking about anything. Do you know? Let me put it this way. Think about this a moment. We are now at a position in our country where any action would be good action. Like, the bar is so low. First of all, you can't bomb anymore, okay? And so there's no work for Harry Belafonte Jr. There's no limboing going on. The bar is sitting on the ground. And therefore, to cross the bar, okay, to be above the bar, to be radical, to do anything truly worthwhile is at this point fucking anything. Any goddamn thing. Anything. Anything, anything, 10-day waiting period, national background check, people with a history of mental illness, people currently under certain prescription drugs, people who have recently had a certain things filed against them like restraining orders or divorce papers, they have an extended waiting period, anything, non-automatic weapons, non-semi-automatic rifles, rifles that clip back, cause the weapon to chamber itself again, limiting size of weapons, limiting calibers of things, anything. Our leaders could do any goddamn thing, anything, and it would cross the bar. They'd be above the bar. They'd be statesmen. They'd be, you know, they'd win the goddamn Nobel Peace Prize. Okay? The goddamn Peace Prize. All right? And yet they do nothing. They would do nothing. And why? Because they're on the take. Because there's money to be made. That's right. We're in the money, oh, lots of money, because
at the end of the day, when it comes to your congressman, it comes to your senators, it comes to your comes to your executive branch, okay, and it comes to the NRA, and it comes to the gun industry, they would, it's all okay. It's all okay. Thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. Because these people are okay with a Columbine so long as it doesn't affect the bottom line. Okay? Seriously. Oh, Columbine, fine, but not bottom line. Mm-mm. Oh, no. Not bottom line. So there is absolutely anything, absolutely anything could be done. Then we have all sorts of fluff arguments. Putting limits on reasonable citizens and good people about owning guns, it's not going to stop bad guys from getting guns, thieves, burglars, assassins, killers, crazy people, etc. So what's the point? Right. Fair enough. I mean, absolutely, 100% salient argument, because that's exactly what we have done in this country about everything the fuck else, right? Oh, wait a minute. Let's check. Let me get my checklist out, okay? Well, making drugs illegal is not going to keep drug addicts, people who want to sell drugs, people who want to engage in recreational use of those drugs from getting a hold of and taking those drugs, right? Oh, no, that's right. We have laws that say all of these drugs are illegal. Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. Making it illegal to rob a bank, making it illegal to rob a bank will not keep bank robbers from robbing banks. They still rob banks, so there's no point to it, right? So we don't have any controls. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's right. We have laws against it. We have controls on it. Well, now, wait a minute, though. You're just talking about people breaking laws there, and clearly when somebody engages... Oh, okay, okay. All right. All right. Let me give you a little example here. There was a rash of kidnappings in this country in the 1920s. Centered around the Great Depression, there was a huge rash of kidnappings. I mean, like, kidnapping became one of the number one crimes in this country. And so we responded to that by making the punishment for kidnapping the death penalty. We said, if you kidnap people, we'll put you to death. And a lot of this had to do with Lindbergh baby and a lot of other issues like that. But the point is this. You know what happened? You know what happened? From then on, people who were kidnapping said, well, fuck it. If they catch me, I'm going to be killed, right? They're going to put me in the chair. They just burned the kid. So I'm going to kill anybody I kidnap, whether I get the money or not. And so what happened was kidnapping went on, but none of the people that were kidnapped started coming home, because kidnappers would kill them, because if they could be identified, then they would go to the gas chamber, the hangman, the electric chair. So we said, oh, shit, look what a mistake we made. Let's get rid of that law. So the point is, we can adapt. We can change our law when we see that people are taking actions that are causing them to kill. We can say, what we're doing here is causing people to kill, or making it too easy for them to kill, or aiding in certain, so we can change it. All right? We've done it before, but not about our blessed Second Amendment. Because why? We're in the money. Oh, money. You don't believe me? Listen, gun sales go up after every large shooter rampage. Every single one. Go look. I'm not making this shit up. You can find this data online. Google is your friend. Easy to find. Anytime there's a mass shooter, anytime there's a shooting rampage, then the sales of guns, what makes gun sales go up? Well, obviously, one of the things that makes gun sales go up, one of the things that makes gun sales go up is shooter rampages. What's the other one? Oh, that would be when black men become president. Once again, you may go, ooh, I can't believe he said that. Go look at the data. Go look at the jump after both times after Obama was elected. Why? What does Obama have to do with this? Well, that's because a lot of these people who love their vaulted Second Amendment say the Second Amendment is sacrosanct. The Second Amendment can't be touched. The Second Amendment allows me, pardon me, allows me to stockpile guns in the defense of the country that I to overthrow because it's going to come and get my guns. Oh, and now this is eating itself. Well, we have to be protected. We have to be protected. What about terrorism? What about them terrorists? Terrorists don't want us to be armed. You see that goddamn London subway bombing? Yeah, buddy, let me tell you what. If one of them Abba Babu Suminumi fellas tried that here in America, we'd take care of it. Because we're armed. We're armed, so terrorists can't do anything to us. Really? Okay, well, did you know that since 9/11, Americans were 5,000 times. Let's go over that number again because it's big. 5,000 times more likely to be killed by a fellow American with a gun than by a foreign terrorist. 5,000 times. So obviously, we need it to protect us from terrorists. Then think about how we won this. I mean, you know, them foreign powers, and we got the citizens got to be able, the old militia stuff. Right. Basically, you're telling me we cannot in any way modify. We cannot in any way modify the Second Amendment or put reasonable limits on gun ownership, gun control, or gun sales, because otherwise King George would come over here and take the country back. Yeah. I mean, he's just waiting. You know, everybody says, oh, he's dead. Oh, no. Oh, no, he's not dead. King George? No. No, he's alive. Him and Karl Marx, man, and Joseph Engels, they're just waiting. They're just waiting to come back here, man. They're just waiting here, Charles Engels, excuse me, to come back here and, you know, take over the country. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's 100% true. Do you want to live under socialist, communist, Marxist, British monarch rule? Well, then, buddy, you better get a gun. Idiot. And so, we might think, because of all these discussions, that the gun violence is the gun rampager. It is the criminal. It is the accidental displacement. You know, the bullet goes off because you left a gun in a bad place because you're a stupid idiot, and we put no limits on it, so somebody else got a hold of the gun. And so that's where all of our gun violence comes from. That's where all of our gun deaths come from. Except, are you ready? Hold on to your seats now, because Professor Porterfield's about to go someplace really factual and weird and ugly here. Ready? 5, 3 out of every 5 firearm deaths in the United States of America are suicides. Did you get it? 3 out of every 5 deaths in the United States of America are suicides. So, you know, do you dig what that means? That means that in America, guns aren't really about self-defense. Because everybody said, we need these guns for self-defense. We got to have them for self-defense. We got to stop the other shooter. Well, I can't even get into the logic of that, right? Like, they got guns, so I've got to have guns. They got a nuclear bomb, so I've got to. That's called snowball theory, by the way. That's called snowball theory. Snowball theory. It says if you and I have a snowball fight and I have more snowballs, I win. And by the way, snowball theory works great for snowballs. It's shitty for nuclear weapons. It's shitty for large amounts of bullets and quick-firing weapons, okay? Because if you have 12 bullets and I have 6, you are not necessarily safer, all right? Snowball theory doesn't work with bullets because it doesn't take many bullets to kill you. But snowball theory works great with snowballs. This winter, when there's no climate change and we're under 5 feet of snow, and then the congressmen go outside and drag snow inside to say, "Well, gentlemen, as a senator from the South, I say, well, climate change is ended. Once again, there's snow in December. Woo!" Okay? No. Just remember it so. But in America, that self-defense is the argument. Self-defense. We need our guns for self-defense. We need our guns for self-defense. And yet 3 out of every 5 firearm deaths in the United States of America are suicides. So welcome to it, boys and girls. In America, guns aren't really about self-defense. They're about self-destruction. They're about self-destruction. Okay? About self-destruction. And that means that the gun manufacturer lobbies, the NRA, the Congress and the Senate are in actuality the United States of America's largest assisted suicide program in the fucking world. Okay? In the fucking world. We have a larger paid for suicide assisted program than anyone else, and it's called the gun lobby. Because 3 out of every 5. 3 out of every 5. And then you look at how many people die. Because we refuse to place any limits. Can't have any limits. Did you know that once upon a time, this time in this country, you could openly, easily, and publicly buy dynamite? Buy dynamite from the feed store. You could go in and buy a stick of dynamite. People use dynamite to get from gophers. Okay? Gophers. Gophers. You could get that. And you know what happened because of that? People started saving their pennies and buying a stick of dynamite and holding on to that stick of dynamite, okay, and lighting it and holding it to commit suicide. This was a trend in America. I'm not making this up. You can go and research it. You'll find out that I am telling you the truth. There was a time in America in the roughly around the 1910s, 1920s, a little bit into the 30s, when dynamite became the most common way to commit suicide because it was sold in every town in America and you could get a hold of it and all you had to do was hold it and just light the fuse and boom, you were dead. Suicide by dynamite. And that was one of just one of the reasons that we stopped selling it to people across the counter with no licensing, no nothing. I couldn't get dynamite today, borrow or steal. All right? Well, I guess I could steal it. But you know what I'm saying? We can't get dynamite anymore. All right? There is still dynamite. Dynamite is still being used, and people are still purchasing dynamite, and they have to have certain licenses and certain controls on where the dynamite's kept and all these things, and it hasn't stopped us selling it. It hasn't stopped the dynamite industry. Other things have better explosive means for mining and for clearing things, etc. Sure, but that the explosives industry didn't go away. See? But the gun industry tells you that if there were any sane limits on guns,
why we would be destroyed. We would be destroyed by a foreign power and terrorists.
Let's come back to this point of the gun manufacturers' lobbies, the NRA, and Congress, for all intents and purposes, being the world's largest assisted suicide program. The people, the primary voices, against any level, any answer, any kind, no matter how reasonable, of any sort of gun control or adjustment to the Second Amendment are also the same lawmakers and representatives who are absolutely against assisted suicide. They're absolutely against it, 100%. They don't want sick people with terminal T-cell cancer skipping out on life, you know, right? Why? Well, because they haven't – where's the money, right? The gun people at least went and bought guns and thus put money in the pockets of our masters before they blew the tops of their heads off. But these people just want to, you know, take some barbiturates and go to sleep. I mean, because apparently the funeral home industry doesn't have as big a lobby. These are also the same people who are against abortion. Because the right to life, we don't want people, we live, life is precious, life is precious. We love life. Oh, and by the way, those 156 people killed the other day were there by that one lone wolf, right? Bullshit. Killer, thoughts and prayers. But I will hound a woman trying to have abortion into the fires of fucking hell. We cannot put legal limits on people's rights. That's not what we're here to do, except in the case of women and gays. Them we can leave. Well, we can fucking put fucking law after law on what a woman can do with her body, where a woman can go, what she can show. Ho, ho, ho. I mean, you know, oh yeah, women, sure. Homosexuals, the queerosexuals. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. We can't put limits on people's rights, except we have the right to pursue happiness, which the Kai Court has deemed to include marriage. The right of marriage is covered under the right to pursue happiness. The love case. Couples loving, not about love. It is about love, but the name was actually loving. That's what the high court ruled. So we can't put limits on people's rights, except every other goddamn right in the book, except the Second Amendment. See, apparently these people think of the Constitution as a buyer's guide. That's what the Constitution is. It's a buyer's guide. You know, it's like Consumer Reports, right? It's like Consumer Reports. And the Constitution clearly says that I should buy certain things. I should own certain things, all right? And those things are slaves and guns, and they've already taken my ability to own one of them away from me. Poor baby. This is insanity. What I have read to you, what I have said to you tonight, these facts, these figures, this is insanity. Absolute madness. And we have to stop it. We the people, we can't get drugged down into every baffle that they want to drag us down into. See, they never want to talk about the gun. They want to talk about everything else. Think I'm wrong? Go listen to what they're talking about right now about Las Vegas. They're talking about hotel security. We're going to have to up hotel security. In the coming days, we're going to have to look at hotel security. Clearly, there was a problem with what was going on with hotels. How could somebody get that many guns in there? We're going to have to look at that. We're going to have to look at what we're doing with our hotels, how they're clearing people. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The problem here is motherfucking hotels. My God, why didn't I get that? Dreamland was I in that I didn't get that the problem is ho-fucking-tels, right? It's hotels. It's hotels. Listen to the following sentence. We've really got to ask how somebody could get that many guns into a hotel. Ding. Do you hear the problem? Because I hear the problem. Do you hear the problem in that sentence? We really have to ask how somebody could get that many guns into a hotel. Not, we really have to ask how somebody could get a hold of that many guns. Well, clearly it's his right to have that many guns. I mean, come on, you want Zombie King George coming over here? And by the way, I never said he was a zombie. I said he was still alive. I mean, think about that. How somebody could get that many guns into a hotel. Not how somebody could get a hold of that many guns. We really got to ask how somebody could drive down the street with that many guns and nobody noticed. Not, you know. That's going to be the next problem, right? It's sedan sizes. Cars are too big. Cars are too big. We're going to make cars smaller. So the bad guys, very bad hombres, very bad guys cannot get that many guns into a standard size sedan. Right? We're going to have to put a chemical sniffers in trunks, so that if they detect a cork or gunpowder, it's gun. You know, not maybe people don't need those kinds of guns. Not maybe people don't need fucking stockpiles. Now we're going to talk about conspiracies. People say, oh, well, it never happened. Fuck you. Go to hell. Get out of my face. You're a human vulture to suggest that these grieving people who still have blood on their hands of their loved ones, it's not real. And why isn't it real? It's a false flag. And why is it a false flag? To get people wound up about guns. So then they'll want gun control, which is the other reason that we can't politicize this. We can't talk about gun control right now. That would be wrong. There's nothing that can be done. That's the other one you hear. There's nothing that can be done. There's nothing that can be done, say legislators and representatives who refuse to do anything. We haven't tried anything and none of it worked. That's what they're telling you. We haven't tried anything and none of it worked. Our hands are tied. Oh, he was mentally ill. Oh, he was a secret agent for the Saudis. Oh, he was a secret agent for the Russians. Oh, he was Sirhan. He's been programmed in some dark room. Not the gun. Never look at the gun. Never look at the gun. Never look at the issue. Never look at the problem. Okay? Well, someday our legislators and our representatives will do something. No, they won't. And you knew that. You knew that. After Sandy Hook, you knew when a fucking kindergarten got iced in this fucking country and we did jack fucking shit, that our representatives and our legislators were wholly owned. That's the minute you knew it. That's the minute you knew it. So now you've got to ask yourself, do you want this to happen every day? Every week, every month, because it's happening at least once a year. I've been on this fucking show for 3 years. What about all the other shootings? What about all of those people? Were they all, you know, whatevers? No. We got to talk about the guns. We've got to talk about the gun. We've got to talk about reasonable and sane laws, and we have to do it now. And if our representatives won't, then by God, we have to. Because if we do not, I don't know. I can't do any more shows like this, dude. I can't. I feel like I'm whistling past the graveyard. There's nothing. I mean, we've got to stand up. We've got to stop this, and we have to start with sane, executable things, not radicalized things. You don't start your proposition with the most radical answer. We have to do something. And once again, the bar is sitting on the ground, so to do anything at this point in time would be almost a relief. But if we do not do something, gun violence is going to continue, and at these numbers, each and every family in this country is going to experience it at some point. At these numbers, as larger groups of people are experiencing in more and more public places, the chances that you will experience it are increasing. And so you just got to say, is that what I want? Do I refuse to have the law modified in the way that it's been modified for all the rest of the Constitution, all of it, except this one little place? I can't bear that because I would rather travel with the angel.
In the great book of John, you're warned of the day. When you'll be laid beneath the cold clay, the angel of death will come from the sky and claim your first soul when the time comes to die. When the angel of death say that
have been true, or you'll have to go all the way by yourself. When God shall send down the angel of death, when the lights all grow dim and the dark shadows creep, and the ones who love you are gathered to weep, can you truthfully say, dying breath, you're ready to meet the angel of death.
Well, when the dark shadows creep should have been your clue. That was Hank Williams Sr. with The Angel of Death. Just a little song, you know. Hope you didn't get offended by the pontification and the fact that that's all there is tonight. Just sometimes the old professor has to just try and send out a signal.
What's that signal? Why, that's the LMC Radio Network on the air! The LMC Radio Network, broadcasting around the globe, bringing news, information, education, and entertainment to all. It's the LMC Radio Network in the Vanguard.
The LMC Radio Network and this show are made possible by our sponsors, the Lucky Mojo Curio Company of 6632 Covey Road, Forestville, California. Lucky Mojo is both an online magic shop and real magic store that you can visit in person. They carry a full line of handmade spiritual supplies, including occult oils, incense, powders, candles, herbs, mojo bags, spiritual soaps, books, and spell kits for those who cast magic spells, love spells, money spells, and protection spells in the African American hoodoo, pagan magic, and other witchcraft traditions. That's right. Lucky Mojo Curio Company at 6632 Covey Road, Forestville, California, and available online at luckymojo.com, where you can sit, look through all of their products, order them, and have them delivered immediately to your home. While in Forestville and Northern California, why not visit the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, 6632 Covey Road, Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. You'll be glad you did. So tell them Professor Porterfield sent you. Well, folks, it was a tough show. You know, it was just sort of the professor running wild, you know, just sort of leaping about at the speed of the devil's gallop, going here, going there, bringing up all these gun control facts. Will anyone listen? Will people change? Can the people organize and force the representatives and legislators to change gun laws? Will there be more shootings? What will you do? Will loved ones you know and care about be harmed or loved? Will the cities break down into chaotic centers of autocratic areas guarded by large men with even larger guns? Will Professor Porterfield report on it on the Lucky Mojo Curio Company? Or will badgers, vicious, highly trained psychics take over the earth? Initially, a very frightening sort of situation that turned out to be a pretty good thing when we found out that the badgers had reasonable laws and excellent administrative abilities. This question and others will be answered next week on the Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield. But for now, this is the end.
Ah, this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning.
¶¶ Texas, then go to Texarkana, and double back to Fort Worth. Come on down to Dallas, drink call Kitty, coming through the territory in Kansas City, and Kansas City, St. Louis, and St. Louis, Chicago. I'm on my way, but I'm doing well. On the TP, leaving Fort Worth, Texas, going to Dallas, Hotel, Grand Sling, Silver Lake, Mineola, Tyler, Longview, Joseph, Marshall, Little Sander, Big Sandy, Texarkana, and double back to Fort Worth. Hello, Greenville, Seales, Denison, South McAllister, Territory, Muskoka, Wagner, Austin, Kansas, Kansas City, Sedalia. Then I changed cars and jumped in Seattle.
Of the LMC Radio Network. Bless their hearts.
If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.
Kiss winter goodbye with fresh spring beauty. For a limited time only, get a free 7-piece Lancôme gift with your $35 or more Lancôme purchase. And customize it. Choose between three of our top day creams. Complete your look by picking a lip and blush duo. Plus, enjoy our advanced Genifique serum, best-selling Bifacial makeup remover, and our most volumizing mascara. Worth up to $114. Take your free gift home in a chic cosmetics bag. Spend an additional $35 for more Lancôme essentials, worth up to $195 total, exclusively at Macy's.